Good morning, everybody, or afternoon, as it might be. This is Lender Legal for the last Lender Legal for 2018. So everybody, thanks for joining me. What I want to talk about today really are two main issues, and they're actually getting a lot of, you know, everybody sort of thinks that the regulatory agenda is gone. These are still actually getting a lot of attention. So I wanted to kind of go through them. And the first is relating to how you procedurally within a company, sort of how you create and disseminate co-marketing in a compliant fashion and avoid a lot of the pitfalls. That's one. And two, auditing MSAs, ways to do that and save you a lot of money. Because I'm hearing a lot of things people are doing that I think are ineffective and or just wasting a lot of dollars. So I want to kind of go through those and address them in turn. There's also a lot of scrutiny on these because recently I have seen a significant uptick in regulatory oversight with respect to things with co-marketing. And I'm not just talking about Zillow stuff. I'm actually talking about more of the one-off pieces done by loan officers. So let's kind of turn to that piece first. When you're doing co-marketing, what you have to do to, and I'm not worried about the words and, you know, make sure that the stuff's licensed and you got your NMLS number. I'm not talking about that little stuff. That's sort of a given. What I'm talking about is the very structure of how you're doing it and who's paying for what. So let's sort of start at a basic point. In co-marketing, you cannot prepare co-marketing for somebody else and not have some form of compensation for doing that. Okay? So, the easiest, obviously, would be money, which I realize will also never work because loan officers don't want to take money from realtors. But let's just say, to start off, how much do you have to get? Well, I think you have to do kind of an analysis of a bunch of things. You have to look at what is it that you're preparing, how much are you spending time and effort, and understand when you examine that, you don't examine it just from your internal cost. You have to examine it from the value of what you're giving somebody. So people say to me all the time, we have an in-house print shop, so why should it cost, you know, it cost us, you know, or it's all done via electronic email, and we have somebody who does that, and, you know, it doesn't cost anything for us to do that, so why can't I give it to the realtor? It's not what it costs you. It's the value to the realtor. If you can produce something that costs a dollar for you to produce, but the world pays $10 for it, is the value a dollar or the value $10? The value is obviously $10. The fact that you've figured out how to make it more, you know, less expensively than anybody else gives you a competitive advantage, but it doesn't negate what the value actually is. You have to think of it from the value, okay? So, and if you charge somebody cost, let's say it does cost $10, but you charge them only one. Well, are you giving them something of value? Yes, you're giving them something of $10 for $1. That's like selling a brand new car that's worth $30,000 for $10,000. Doesn't matter, you know, if you buy the Chevy at cost, it's what the retail value is. That's the difference that you're getting at. So you got to think of it that way. That's how this would be viewed from a compliance standpoint. So that's the first thing. You know, what's sort of the value that you're giving? You can estimate that. Sometimes it's hard to estimate that, but we're going to talk about those situations later because I think it actually gives you some latitude there. So that's the first part. So now, and how much of it are you getting yourself? Like, so if you're creating an advertisement and your name is never on it, there's nothing about you in it, it's just them or in their houses or whatever it might be. Well, then your task is a little bit harder on the other end because you're going to say, well, what are you getting for it? Well, it's going to be hard. So now let's take a scenario, though, in co-marketing, which, because that's really just preparing marketing for somebody else. But now let's take a scenario where there's co-marketing. And maybe, you know, you've got a quarter of the page or an eighth of the page, and they've got the rest of the page. Well, the way the analysis would be done if we were talking money, to make it more simplistic at first, is you would get, you know, they'd pay for one-eighth of the cost of production. Your name is going out there. But this is where I think you can get a little more advanced with it, okay, and have a little more latitude than just charging money, which nobody wants to do to realtors or any other settlement service providers for that matter. So what you do now is you could say, okay, well, here's the thing. Let's take now a holistic scenario and say, I'm producing it, and I'm getting one-eighth the page. You know, I'm making a quarter because it's easier math. So I'm getting a quarter of the page, okay? But I'm producing it, and it costs, let's say, $10 a page to produce it. But here's the thing. They're disseminating it, not me. And they're disseminating to all of their clients, and they have a current list of clients. So my name is now being sent out to all of their clients, and it's 2,000 clients. So it cost me $10 for my business card to be sent to people actively in the market looking for homes, 2,000 of them, and it cost me $10. Now, if you were being examined, okay, you're going to say, well, hold on, no, I didn't give for free. I got access to 10,000 names, and it got sent, and I've got confirmation of that. So for $10, I got my name sent out to 10,000 or to 2,000 people who are actively looking for homes, i.e. actively looking for loans. Why wouldn't I do that? And I think you can win that argument, okay? So what I'm getting at is I think that there's, you know, barter is an exchange of things for value, right? If I give you something and you give me something of equal or greater or you know, hopefully equal value, then from a regulatory standpoint, you know, the assumption that I did this to get referrals sort of goes away. Now, I did this to get access to your database because that database has value, clearly, right? No one could ever argue that that database has value, and you're getting your name sent out for free to that database. Not bad. So, you know, obviously it does go to how much is your name, how much exposure are you getting? If it's, you know, 3-point font in the little bottom corner, then probably not worth that much to you because no one's going to see it. But, you know, if it's a quarter of the page, well, it's quite different. And, you know, there's two pieces of value, not only the dissemination. What if it's disseminated by mail and they're actually paying 25 cents to mail these things hard copy? What if they're putting it out of all their open houses? Okay, now you're starting to get, you know, you can really start building a case for the value of this. So I think that when you're dealing with co-marketing, you have to look at it more broadly. You first have to look at it from the perspective of the value that you're giving, of what you're creating, not for the cost of creation, but the value of what the recipient is getting compared to the value of what we're getting and you're getting in the advertisement itself. And then I think you have to look at what the other side is doing, whether it's by money and or by act, by barter, if you will, what you're getting out of it. But here's the thing. You know, I used the words, and I didn't actually mean to use them just now, building a case. But I think that's actually what you have got to do. Because, you know, what happens a lot of times is this behavior pattern goes on, and people really don't think about it, and they don't really know what's happening, and then they get an examination, and, you know, the only thing is that comes out is, well, what are you guys charging? Well, we're not charging anything. Come again? Now you got a regulatory problem because you're not charging. You're giving them something for free. And at the moment, people don't think, well, no, it's not really for free. Or people, yeah, well, you know, they send me business. Oh, violation right there, right? You just admitted it. So you have to come up, you've got to build that case ahead of doing it. Right? So you know the questions to ask. So if they say, well, okay, if you even do have to think of this on the back end of things to justify it, the problem you get in is you can't justify it because, well, who was it sent to? Well, how did you determine how many? Do you know if they actually sent it? What if they just handed it out to 5 people? Well, you know, and the more you can create something where the value is only if it's disseminated. Like, so for example, let's say you did this and it was done by electronic mail. Right, and here was their information, and they sent it to, you know, 2,000 people but via email, and, you know, somebody comes back and says, well, how could you prove it? Well, here's the thing. There's actually no value to what I created if they're not going to disseminate it to their people. So, you know, that's the only way this thing had value to them or to me. And in situations like that, now, that could be different if, for example, it was a open house and they just put the flyers out and, you know, how much value did you get because they were just a couple of flyers at an open house taken? You know, you spent a lot of money creating these nice pretty brochures, or not even spent money, but spent a lot of your own assets doing it. And these things cost, you know, those brochures are not inexpensive to make. And, you know, 5 of them got handed out and your business card was on a folder. May not be so great, okay? But you have to do that assessment, and the key is you've got to ask those questions, and then with the co-marketing, you really should try to get some level of feedback to ensure, you know, what happened. And I'm not saying necessarily, you know, maybe you get added to the list, so when the email goes, you get a copy of it, you know, so you see it actually went out. Maybe they tell you the name, the numbers of how many people it went to or how many people it's going to go to. I don't know how far you got to go down that road, but I think with co-marketing, you want to start off by having an understanding of what's happening and where the benefits are going to be and evaluating your compliance with RESPA based on that type of financial and or barter system. And then have some understanding. I'm not even talking about an agreement or a contract, but some written understanding with the other side of what they're doing and what you're doing. It could be a well-written email, right? It says, okay, we're gonna prepare these for you, and you're going to disseminate them to all your contacts, and you know, just tell us at the end of the month how many people these things got sent to. Probably good enough, right? So I don't want to make this too difficult, but at the same time, if you don't want to do something that's going to involve the exchange of money with a settlement service provider to pay for the retail value, if you will, of what you're creating, and you want to use sort of a barter system type situation, then you really have to do some of this work up front. And it doesn't take that long, right? I'm not asking you to spend hours and hours and hours doing this. Just sit down for 15 minutes, do an assessment of what you're getting versus what they're getting, and you might actually avoid having to ask the realtor for some money, because I do think this is a legitimate way of doing your co-marketing. Now, obviously, that's sort of what I call that independent co-marketing. There's other co-marketing where you're using an existing structure, a Zillow or Redfin, or, you know, there's so many others. Be careful of some of those, and the reason I say it is, and I'm going to mention this, but I'm not. Please don't, it's not in reference to Zillow or any of these other companies necessarily, so I'm saying this generically, okay? There are people out there that have co-marketing tools that have never really vetted them from a compliance standpoint. And some of them, I will tell you, have features that I think are just no-go. And again, I'm not going to mention that on this call because I don't think that's appropriate, and maybe it's a scenario where maybe it's been explained to me in a certain way, or it was a certain application of the product in a certain way that it was not okay. And again, this is not in reference specifically to Zillow or Redfin or any. I just have to mention those as examples of co-marketing types that are out there. But there are companies out there that I really think have some compliance flaws. And so anytime you're gonna do a deal with one of these companies, you utilize them, run it past whoever's doing your compliance to look at it, because sometimes the things are pretty obvious. Like there's some things out there that there's like literally required exclusivity. I mean, something like that, yeah, you know, I mean, that's going to be a problem. I mean, if it says right down there, you get the exclusive, and nobody, that's not marketing anymore, right? Exclusivity is a very dirty word to the CFPB. So I'd look at stuff like that, and if it sometimes seems too good to be true, what's the old saying? It probably is. Think about that and evaluate that. The other thing is when you're doing these co-marketing, you know, pre-programmed co-marketing, if you will, pre-formed, I would really advise you to be control the money, because where a lot of these things go wrong is right there. So, for example, I had one case where a realtor, and it was on Zillow, but somehow they had the lender had four different loan officers in the same branch, each paying the same realtor 50% of the cost of the leads. That's for the mathematically challenged, okay? That's 200%, okay? And here's the thing. It was the same leads. So why would four loan officers in the same branch be buying this? Right, this isn't hard, right? This is not a hard one. We all know that there's a problem here. You're paying the realtor for referrals. That's what you're doing. There's no other way to explain something like that, because it never would make business sense to buy the same list four times, which is what they were doing. So, and the lender never knew because they didn't have control of the money. They were just reimbursing they would put in a reimbursement and they would get it back, and no one really checked it. So I think one thing that would be really, you know, wise to think about would be to have more control over the financials of marketing from the realtors and not just do reimbursement, but maybe have a marketing expense account, things like that. It's also something that's pretty good now because the individualized deductions for, you know, business costs have been, I'm not a tax expert, what I understand is largely eliminated for many people through the new tax plan. A lot of those deductions have gone away, so that now if you can use pre-tax money, it's actually a lot more valuable from an employment perspective. So it's one of those times where money and compliance might go together. So, you know, maybe you cut down their BIPs a little bit, but you pay the marketing. You do it at a pre-tax level, which helps the loan officer because they're not using their money after tax to pay for it. And you avoid the reimbursement. You avoid a lot of these things. You've got a lot more control. And you can actually see what it's going for because you're forming those arrangements and sort of controlling that that advertising. So that's another suggestion I make when you do with the preforms, is really have control of their expenses before the marketing spot as opposed to simply reimbursing after. Too many things can go wrong there that you don't know about until it's too late. So that's in the area of co-marketing. Now, on the area of MSAs, fortunately, I think a lot of people really have begun to understand that you have to audit MSAs, audit their actual performance. Like anything in marketing, right, if you're paying for something, and it goes back to what I even said with the co-marketing, like if it's not for referrals, you want to make sure it's happening, right? If I just prepare these co-marketing pieces given to you, have no way to know you ever sent them or did, like, how do I know you're getting anything out of it? You're spending this money for a print shop that you bought, and, you know, you don't know if they're ever being used. Well, that's kind of a problem, right? So, one of the things I would say is that you want to act like you're actually paying for the marketing as opposed to simply giving something to somebody else, and that cuts across all of this. So in that regard, when we're dealing with MSAs, you do have to audit. You have to make sure the stuff that you think is being done is being done. Now, how do you do that? I know that there are services out there. Then you have to pay for them. Yeah, you know, guys, look, I think there are services out there that evaluate, you know, MSAs and how much they cost. I don't know how they do it, candidly, but those things I think you should pay for, right? To get somebody to do a valuation of the MSA and what it should be paid for per month. That, I think, has to be done in many cases, and it's, while you can certainly do your own way of doing that too, you know, it's kind of complicated and everyone knows how to do it, so I could see paying for that. But auditing your MSA, you shouldn't be paying that for that every month. I mean, that's one place where I think you could save a ton of money. Like SCP, you know, we do that for free as part of the things that we do with our clients. It's in the dashboard we have. It's called Astro. So, I mean, but there's no cost because it's so easy, right? Basically, this is what you need to do. If you don't have Astro or any of those things, you know, you could probably do some of this on your own easier, obviously, if you've already got a system built for it. But you know, one of the things that you do, you create, first of all, an audit plan, okay? And an audit plan doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be so exacting that, oh, my gosh, no one could ever fool me, right? It's got to be something that is reasonable so that if nothing's being done, you know, like, look, guys, I mean, the CFPB I haven't seen get greatly detailed by saying, like, well, you know, on Thursday, January 5th, we determined that they didn't send the email that day. They sent it on the 6th. It's not that detail-oriented, okay? Or, you know, out of the 500 emails, we found one wasn't sent. That's not what gets you in trouble. What gets you in trouble is that you paid for all this marketing. They've never done any of it. You know, you paid them to do all these things. They never did any of it. Okay, that's what gets you in trouble. So something that's checked not on a daily basis, but that might be sampling or reasonable sampling size. So let me give you an example. Let's say that they said they were going to, they have a billboard, and it's on one particular street, and they were going to have your name up on the billboard, on an eighth of the billboard, okay? They're going to give some of the space on that billboard was going to be for you, you know, all month long. Do you have to drive by it every day? No, we don't have to drive by it every day. What if you drive by once a week and take a quick picture? Probably good enough, right? I mean, what, you think that if it's random, you think they're putting it up? Of course not. That's not reasonable. So you don't have to take a picture every day or have them take a picture every day. Take a picture once a week when you drive by it, okay? Or even you could probably certify that you went by and you looked at it and you ensured it was up there. Okay, and that's a billboard. I understand that's a little tougher to change. What if it was about having materials visible in their office? This is a better one, more realistic, okay? So, again, how do you know they have them up there? Now, some people say, well, just have the realtors certify it. And I wouldn't do that. You want to know why? In any other, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to answer the question I asked of the question. In what world would you actually go to the person that you're paying to do the marketing and say, did you do that for me? And they said, yes. And you said, okay, great. Here's your check. Never, right? It's ridiculous. So when you prepare that list and say, no, I did nothing to verify, but I took their word for it. It's not what people do in business. You look silly. So don't have your auditing done that way. But how about now this, okay? Now you've got an MSA. I'd presume you've got a loan officer going in there at least once a week, if not once a day, with that MSA partner. Otherwise, why are you doing the MSA, right? So on the week, on the day of the week they come in, or you know, they come in on different days. Hopefully they're coming more than once a week. They're coming a couple times. You know, as they walk in, take out the phone, click, send, dates on the email, on the, you're done. You just verified it. And you log that information. Say, okay, when, you know, you create a little log, the log said, well, it came in on, you know, January 4th at 9 a.m. and our brochures were out there in the reception area. Done. Okay, and you do that whenever they come in, once a week or something like that, or twice. Again, what are the, is it theoretically possible that they put them up, and as soon as you walked away, I guess that's possible. But that's not what the CFPB is investigating, guys. Right? They're not getting to that level of granularity. You know, that somebody was really, really pulling the wool over your eyes and faking and it's just not a realistic assessment of what's going on. So I think that you can create these types of audit logs for the services, and you keep a plan for every service that's part of your MSA that is easy, that allows you to document both in terms of like a log entry as well as some form of photograph or some type of upload of information to confirm on a reasonable basis that this stuff occurred. And that shouldn't cost you a lot of money, and it shouldn't take a lot of effort. And I think that if you're reasonable, I mean, if any guys need help doing this, I could do this in, you know, minutes to an hour, okay, depending on what you've got going on. But it's a pretty simple process using common sense, understanding that, look, I just got to do something where there's some legitimacy. And listen, I'm not trying to prevent them from, you know, some detailed orchestrated plan of fraud, defrauding me of my marketing dollars, right? I'm just trying to do some level of confirmation that's not ridiculous, that's legitimate, that shows that, look, at least when we come by, we confirm that it's up and it's being done. Now, what happens when it's not being done, when they don't send out the co-marketing, when you have to respond to that too and not pay for it, right? So that's in a scenario where people have said, oh, well, can you, you know, you have to pay the same amount. You do, but if the services aren't done, and that service has a corresponding value in the MSA, pro rata, and you can prove it wasn't done, then you could not pay that amount. And you shouldn't, because it wasn't done, if that makes any sense. So you always kind of want to be consistent, because that's the other problem with these logs, is what happens if you can't prove they're doing it, or you chose they're not doing it, but you keep paying them anyhow. Again, in the real world, would you ever do that? Of course not. You'd never pay for marketing you weren't receiving. You know, so think about it from that perspective. So that's kind of what I wanted to cover today. If you guys have any questions, you know, feel free. I hope everybody has a very happy and safe holiday and a new year. And I will speak to you guys in 2019. And we'll you know, take the next issues up in compliance at that time. So, again, everybody have a great 2019. Happy New Year, and be well.